The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, and Ken.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 7 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Sitting with me is Dan and Nick, my co-host. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, talking to the mic.
I don't think your mic's on right now.
We don't even know what's going on at this point.
No, yeah, it's okay.
There we go. I'm doing pretty good. About yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. I appreciate the
mic is on.
Yeah, now that I can hear you in the actual headphones. Dan, what's going on over there?
Not much, man. Glad it's Friday. I'm drinking, so we're winning.
We're drinking on Friday. We got three guests in here tonight. They are the hosts of Mike's Unhappy Hour. We've got Doug.
Yes.
Scott.
Yep.
And what was your name again?
Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh. Mike.
Like the host of Mike's Unhappy Hour, and then let's do it in reverse.
Yep. I wanted them to feel special. You probably open up the show every week.
Most weeks.
Yeah. You know,
we do have the homebrewing show as well
that yep.
was teased a little bit, called Homeward Brewed,
yep.
which is part
yep.
of our radio family.
Yes. So we're still working on all that stuff, so...
The beer or the podcast?
It's all worked out, but we can't discuss anything.
Yes.
It's top secret.
Time. All top secret.
Don't want to drop any breaking news right now.
Okay, like so we'll make sure not to ask questions about these top secret endeavors. So in regards to your top secret endeavors.
I can dance around it all night long.
So what is Mike's Unhappy Hour? Explain the show.
So we've evolved, probably devolved a little bit.
Depends on who you ask.
Over the last year. Started out more as just like an industry show, bringing on bars, breweries, distilleries every week and more talking about the industry at large. Since I lost my original craft beer guy and brought on Doug to replace him, and then unfortunately Scooter comes with him as well. It had turned more into just mainly craft beer, rating different beers every week. And we've had a few more breweries on since you guys have been here. You guys are great for networking, which is basically going out and getting drunk and telling people, I have a radio show, so they give you free beer.
We are whores when it comes to that stuff.
Does that actually work?
It does.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, it does.
We need to start putting that into the budget, out and getting drunk.
Getting drunk. Well, I think we already do that.
No,
is there really a budget needed? I think we already know it.
But if you register your show as an LLC, then everything is deductible after that.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
So register your show as a business, and then all your drinking receipts
then
become
beer
research
free.
And show prep.
And then beer
so it's
is
all
free.
Right off.
And then you win.
And that, I was going to say, if beer is free, I win no matter what. So you guys talk about, the industry, you talk about craft beer a little bit more, and you said you rate your beers. How do you guys actually rate your beers?
We've been using just the Untappd system recently.
Right. Yeah, that's what we use as the standard for, rating stuff. But we actually go through it. We'll discuss, hints and stuff of beers that we find that we like, stuff like that. What we personally think about it, and then we will discuss what our ratings would be.
You're not allowed to have thoughts.
Well, this is news to me.
You're so, just sex appeal. That's all you are.
Do you guys take advantage of the full 25-point system that Untappd has with the quarter points, or do you just kind of...
Oh, no, full system.
So sure. So what makes a five-star beer versus 4 3/4?
Don't ask Scott, because if Scott likes it... If Scott likes it, it's like a 4. If he loves it, it's a 5.
That's me. That's how I pretty much got my rating system, so it's good.
There's not very many that either Scott or I rate 5 stars.
Mm. Okay.
Very, very few.
What would it take to rate a 5 for you? We'll go around. We'll start with you.
Yeah, well, even, for me, the only one I've really ranked, besides I'm biased.
But what would be a 5 to you? Like, can you think of a 5-worthy beer?
Probably the only one I've truly ever rated a 5 was Pliny the Elder.
That's a good beer.
It's just because it's one of the top industry standards. But and a close second to it was like 4.75 or so was Heady Topper, which is constantly ranked, you know, right there either in front of or behind Pliny.
Well, what's nice about Pliny is the fact that it's definitely, even though it's not quote unquote a session beer, it's a session beer for the fact that you can drink without getting bored. It never has that, like, you know, that hardcore IPA taste like a Devil Dancer might give you, or right. a 120 where you'll have one and that's it. You don't want any more. You just right. you just want to enjoy
because
the one.
You're on the floor.
Well, yeah, you're on the right. floor. You have more, yeah. more than, well, that's welcome to the Better on Draft show where we don't drink anything under 10%. Yeah.
Under 10% is water here, so oh, I hope yeah. you guys came prepared.
So what about you? What takes it to be a 5, and then what have you rated anything a 5?
I have rated some stuff a 5. What takes for me to be a 5 is something if I will travel a distance to get it. One of those would be like Drippa from Koonin's. I live every bit of 45 minutes to an hour from there.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and I'll geez. Make the drive just to get Drippa.
Are you on the wrong side of the new brewery that they're opening in the new tap room? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
It's still an hour from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike.
Well, I'm not a big Untappd guy. Like, I just joined it recently because of the show. I kind of believe that a lot of the rating systems are kind of like masturbating in front of a mirror. Right. You know, like it's so self-congratulatory.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, South Park with the whole Yelp episode a couple weeks ago.
You're not Yelping.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, you know, I have a thing because like I have allegiances and friends that are in the industry. And if I give them like a 1-star review because their beer sucks, like, oh, I'll get so much crap for it.
I know for Scott and I, the main, you know, function that we use Untappd for is to keep track of beers that
that's,
we try.
That's why I use it.
And,
for
so
most
we started one for the show specifically for
right.
that.
You know, we do use it to rate stuff. So if we go to a place and we're like, have I had this before? And then I look and I'm like, oh, well, I gave it, you know, 2.5 stars or 3 stars. I'm like, yeah, I probably don't want to try that one again. Let's see what else they have. So it kind of gives us a you know, something to look at as far as what we've tried, if we want to try it again, if it's the only beer available, if we want to drink it again.
Well, I think that's what's great for that is the fact that you don't want to make that same $5-6 mistake again,
right?
Especially exactly. for a beer that you don't like. And you know, between all of us, we could probably name, you know, around 3,000 to 4,000 different beers we've had between the six of us. Just because
I'm sure,
you know,
yeah.
we go everywhere. We try. Kudin's always got new beers and always yep. has, like, you know, 20-some-odd taps every single time you show up.
Handpull Wednesdays, too. So
yeah, there's always reasons why. Or you guys were just at Embrew earlier, which yep. Embrew has, you know, so many different, and it's a never-ending rotation
constantly
of beer.
Changing. Yep.
Yep.
So it's one of those things to where you don't want to make that same mistake twice because, at least for me, like, I never drain pour. I never pour a beer down a drain.
I've only ever poured one beer. The Sam Adams
beer. We even finished
Sam Adams. Which one?
Didn't we?
It was their gingerbread stout or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have opened it.
I probably would have liked that.
Save it.
No, there's
we've
beers.
We've choked down a fair amount of beer.
Right, we have.
In our search of, you know, really bringing you everything that we can, because we had the pizza beer, which was horrific.
Pizza
beer.
Wait, pizza
it?
Beer.
Yeah.
Well, it's what contract brewed by Sprecher. I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's just literally
Mama,
like the pizza beer company.
Yeah, it's Mamma
like,
Mia.
Mamma Mia pizza beer.
Yeah.
But it's oregano, basil, something else, and then like tomato.
Yeah.
So it tastes just like pizza sauce, but which you're not used to drinking in that fashion, right?
Right.
So it reminds me of a lot of the old Jones sodas where it's like, here's your Thanksgiving dinner with like peas and gravy. And
yeah, it's, and it was a gimmick to try. Luckily, it was only like $4 for the bottle, so it wasn't
too
bad. I
don't even think it was that.
Right.
Well, there's always been like there's hot dog flavored beers.
Yeah.
I remember the
pretzel beer.
The pretzel beer.
Oh,
yeah.
At that one beer festival at Pine Knot.
Oh, that was a Shock Top beer. It was the pretzel beer.
That was actually, I didn't think it was
something pretzel wheat or whatever.
Well,
it was
they changed it. Last year it was something. This year they tweaked it a little bit and changed the name. But
did they?
Yeah, they didn't have a beer fest at DTE, come to think about it, this year.
No, they didn't. No,
they didn't. Normally it's in at the beginning of this month or the beginning of October.
Yeah, I recall last year. It's a really good event, that at least in my opinion, just because not only does it have Michigan beers, but you get a lot, because I think it's ran by Powers.
Right.
You're going to get a lot more in-state, not in-state, out-of-state, in U.S. type beers. So, like, New Belgium usually bring beer.
Right.
I think they brought a Lips of Faith series there when they hosted last year. That's one thing that I do like about, you know, I love the Michigan Beer Fest because there's just so many damn beers to try.
It's like a million. Yeah.
But there's just so many beer festivals where I'm like, you know, okay, sooner or later I want to try beer that I really can't get around here. Because, you know, I can drive 2, 3, 4 hours and get whatever beer that might be here. I'm not going to be able to drive out to Colorado, Vermont, Oregon, Washington, California.
But the majority of, like, the multi-state, I guess, are your big beer. Like, Budweiser will still have, like, a giant table. And you're like, why? Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why are you here? I've been at beer festivals where it's literally like Bud and Bud Light. I'm like, really? Like, kind of beer, no one here has tried this before?
That doesn't even sound sad. That's one I don't
that just sounds more like an Oktoberfest than anything, is the fact that it's just.
Well, because a lot of the time, it is when the distributor gets involved, and then, like, Hubert or Great Lakes or Westside, they're going to push their full portfolio.
Yep.
And that includes, you know, Bud, PBR, Labatt, everything. So you're going to get a lot of the international, you know,
people line up to drink that. I don't even understand. Like,
I think at that point, though, it's like, I'm sure maybe that's what you start to drink when you start trying to sober up a little bit.
When you need some water, that's what you
get. Like, oh, dude, I am so drunk. Like, can someone get me a domestic light lager?
I tell you what, with Bud and Bud Light, I had that Bud Platinum, and it wasn't actually too bad. That's the higher ABV one that they have.
Bud Platinum.
In that category, I like the one Labatt had a little bit better.
Labatt. I don't understand. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think I've ever had it.
Can't even remember the name. I'm trying not to swear. No. So
if you swear every once in a while, that's okay. But if you have the conversation we had before we came on air,
which is not even anywhere remotely close to any average conversation that we have on
We're so much worse.
No, you wouldn't be able to understand any conversation we'd have. It'd be like, oh, so beep, 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 beep. That'd be about it.
It's like, where's the dump button?
Yeah.
There's no dump button here.
But no, because I like that premium plus category, which is Platinum, Black Crown, Miller Fortune, and then whatever the Labatt one was.
I don't remember.
The Labatt one was probably the best out of the group. Miller Fortune, they encourage you to drink it closer, like with a slight chill, in a rocks glass.
In a rocks glass.
And I'm like, no one buying your beer is going to do that. They probably don't even own a rocks glass.
Right.
Well, they probably do. They got it from the beer tasting starter kit that they found at the local
Mart. Beer tasting starter kit would not have a rocks glass. That's terrible. I'm sorry.
So we appreciate you guys for coming on out.
Yeah.
So get the hell out of... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for coming in. Adios. Have fun.
While you're on the air, raiding the beer fridge.
I think you extended the amount of non-swearing that you guys can have in comparison to some of the show that I've listened to for your guys' show.
Well, the thing is like Homeward Brewed is clean.
Yep.
And then we kind of have it staged where Homeward Brewed is clean and then Mike's on Happy Hour, depending on the guest, really, because it's very guest-driven.
That makes sense.
If they pierce the veil, then we go the rest of the way in. Yeah. You know, so because, like, we had Mick from National Rock Review, and he used to do it, like, host these giant multi-hundred-person beer chairs at his house out in Clarkston. And he really just took it so far,
yeah,
like out the gate, that we were like trying to catch up with being vulgar.
Oh, geez,
wow, and we did not complain one bit.
You guys talk about being 45 minutes away. Where are you guys actually located? The area,
we're basically he's pretty close to me, he's about 5 minutes from me. I'm right off of M59, so I'm in White Lake,
okay.
You know, in between Heartland and Waterford, basically off M59. So even the new production facility for Koonin's is still about a 45-minute drive for me.
Straight down 59.
Yeah.
So
way down 59.
In regards to, you know, that area, White Lake and stuff, can we discuss what's potentially coming up in that area, Mike?
Yeah. Go right ahead. Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, right, yeah. What's going on?
That's not my thing. Like we said, Scott and Doug are craft beer guys. What we are in the infancy stages thereof.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe slowly approaching toddler.
Getting there.
They are launching a brewery. We're currently looking at property. Rustic Leaf.
Yep. Rustic Leaf Brewing Company.
Good name.
Doug's little pet project. Yeah. So that's really more your thing to talk about.
Yeah, it's been...
So talk about it.
It's been a long road. It's been about 4 years now.
Oh, wow.
You know, from start of basically making beer in a garage and having a true Sam Calagione moment where make your first beer that was actually my beer, standing up after trying it and saying, I'm going to open a brewery.
That's a typical story we hear. Yeah, it's actually pretty normal.
We should start a bar.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I did that, and the guy that I started brewing with, I still talk to him to this day, but he's still doesn't believe in anything that I've done. So I've moved on from that. He still enjoys the beer that I make, but when it comes to that side of it, he's you know, not into it at all.
So your dad's doing well.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And enough about that asshole.
Are you in the production stage already of producing beer? The beer for it? Or
no, actually, we are still way before that.
Still, okay.
Yeah, we're not licensed or anything. We're still seeking our building. Once we get the building locked down, mm-hmm. then we can start our licensing, which we've got a few buildings in mind, which are going to be right around the Waterford area. We're looking somewhere off of Dixie Highway, somewhere off of White Lake. There's a few there. We're just waiting on confirmation from...
You know. So being, you know, 4 years in the making and being in the process of that, what is some of the hardships that you've run into in regards to opening, licensing, finding buildings? You know, what have you run into that is really just kind of... you know, stopped the production, stopped the...
Well, I think for me was... Well, because they come to me because I'm the marketing guy.
Right.
And they're like, let's put a brewery here. And I'm like, police station, state police station.
Like in between.
Those are going to be your best customers.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like, go after like office buildings, recreation, like places that are near destinations. And the great thing about the White Lake, Waterford... That area is that there are lakes, so
yep.
you know, if you get a crawler machine or have canned, you know, beer right there, you're able to go.
Oh, probably for us though, the biggest issue is funding, finding investments.
Have you tried Kickstarter?
We have. the problem with Kickstarter is they set a time limit. You don't meet your funding requirement. You don't get anything.
Really?
Yeah, yes. That's always been the biggest.
Yeah, I have not heard that.
Yeah, so there's different sites like GoFundMe and stuff where there's no time limit. So if you set a $25,000 goal, it could take you 10 years. If you hit the $25,000, then they'll give you your money. But Kickstarter, I believe it's 90 days. It might be longer than that now.
I think that it's like 6 months now.
Okay. When I started it was 90 days.
They change everything because they want more money.
Right.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, trying to, you know, go through crowdfunding that way can be a pain in the butt, trying to gain enough capital, especially for what we're looking for. The way we're set up, we're looking for small investments. It's a small capital raise for us, which is going to help us in the long run.
Well, also, I mean, building choices in general are relatively difficult because you need a certain price range to where you know that you'll be able to cover it.
Yep.
And then also the square footage, you know, and what it was used before, if it's even able to handle a lot of brewing equipment without totally being redone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue that we've run into as well.
Right. Trying to find a building, minimum 4,000 square foot, and that's pushing, you know, the bottom end of where we want to go.
There's smaller breweries out there, but you take up so much of your floor plan with brewing area that by the time you're done, you're like, great, we can seat 20 people.
Yeah.
Kind of like falling down almost.
Yeah, falling down.
Really small. It used to be a family restaurant.
North Center is pretty small in comparison to some of the other breweries out there. Yep. Even Dragon Meat. I mean, Dragon Meat, it's more long than anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, they just expanded their brewing, didn't they, not that long ago?
Yeah, I believe
so. Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It depends on which route you want to go down. If you want to eventually make it into the distribution side of things, you're going to need that space for that equipment to come in, unless you're planning on purchasing another building to put the production equipment in.
Or some people do contract for the beginning until they can scale.
If you can you know, work it out, I think a 4,000 square foot building is pretty perfect to be able to get smaller production equipment in there to be able to regionally distribute. You know, 7 to 10 barrel system in there. Anything more than that, you're going to be looking at too much room. It's going to, you know, hamper your tap room, which obviously that's got to be your bread and butter to start.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have millions of dollars like some breweries that have opened up not too far from here to be able to get into distribution before.
That's not just millions of dollars. It's also fococusing more on quantity than quality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think because everyone knows that's where the money is in distribution.
Yep.
No one can deny that. But, you know, the time people that take time and focus on their recipes and make sure they have great beer versus the ones that are like, well, screw it, let's just start making money.
Yeah.
But when one of the owners is a former owner of a distributor.
Yeah. Yeah. Money comes a little easier.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we yeah, of course. Are not. So that's been our biggest hamper, you know. Is
have you thought of buying Copper Canyon?
Yes. The price tag for that is astronomical for what they're looking for.
It's in Southfield, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, it's right off of
well, I was telling Lycan, I don't know if you guys were aware, but they're selling the brewery equipment separate.
Yep. From now the they actual. Are, finally.
Because no one wanted to touch
nobody
it before.
Nobody wanted to touch
it. No. I haven't looked to see what they want for the brewing equipment itself. I know it's a 20-barrel system. I don't know who made it, what condition it's in now, but it depends on the price
It's also
tag.
Been sitting, probably it's sitting not for been touched
a couple of years.
Yeah, but stainless steel, I mean,
still, but if it wasn't cleaned properly, taken care of, who knows?
Yeah, who knows what what they left it in.
Right.
Well, you know, the brewery equipment market is still, like, there's more and more reputable people coming out, but for the longest time, it was all these crappy you know, company is going, hey, look, we have a product here, and that's where you got a lot of, like, subpar canning lines, bottling lines, brewing equipment that would break down or leak or bust. And
right. Well, a lot of the smaller breweries, they're taking advantage of, like, Chinese companies and stuff where they can get the brewing equipment. You can buy sometimes a 20-barrel system for $25,000, where and a normal 7-barrel system, like something we're looking for, is $227,000.
Wow. It's a huge difference.
So, yeah, huge difference, which a lot of these companies are, you know, oh, $25,000 versus $250,000.
Yeah, and if one breaks, you still have, you know, well, 19 left.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then you don't know what kind of quality the steel is because it's not made here,
from
not
China.
Regulated. Yeah, it's from China.
Scary.
You don't know
it's
what condition
lead.
It's going to be when it gets here. So it depends on which route you want to go. If that's what some of these companies want to do, great. I'm sure they make great beer with it. That's not the route we want to go in. We want to go with
America.
American.
America. 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 America.
We want to go with the quality top
Hank Hill
three.
Brewery. Go ahead.
We want to go with the quality, you know, some of the top three, the top four or five, you know, brewery supply companies in the country, which, you know, we've been talking with and stuff. It's just funding.
I still think we should go down to Ohio and check out Pinups and Pints and then try to
let's do it.
Take that metric here.
I'm always up for a road trip as long
road
as there's
trip.
Beer involved.
As long as there's beer involved, who
well,
cares?
You know, we're the only strip club brewery in the country.
As long as it's close to Beaver Creek, let's go.
Dayton, Akron, I don't know. It's one of those smaller Ohio cities.
I don't think it's Akron. I've been Beaver to Akron. Creek. I don't know.
Yeah, Dayton, maybe? It's on the west side of Ohio.
I don't know. Somebody with a laptop right next to me can look it up real quick. What was it called again?
Oh, it's called Pinups and Pints.
Pinups and Pints.
So, you know, strip club brewery?
We were
strip
talking
club
about
microbrewery.
We were talking about America. Did you guys see that Stone Cold is making his own beer?
Yes,
I did.
Oh. I did see that.
He's going
that.
With an IPA. He doesn't that seem like an me. IPA just, kind of guy.
For someone who always drank Bud Light.
Seems like a natural light kind of guy.
Steve Weiser's.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Steve Weiser.
Now, is he just contracting it, or is he like...
I think it's just his name.
He's
that's on.
Yeah. He's just putting slapping his name on whatever he wants, and that's... It's like I guess
kid,
that's
all right.
Cool.
Pinups and Pints, the world's only strip club brew pub.
The world's only. This is like an exclusive and...
Not for long. Let's
small
do it.
Town Ohio.
You could try their Thigh High PA.
Oh. Thigh High PA.
6.5 ABV.
We need to make a road trip. This might be kind of a fun.
Well,
type of thing.
We had at one point talked to them about doing a live broadcast, and they were into it. Except for this was back when we were still on Mondays, and they're closed on Sunday and Monday.
Okay, well, it's a good thing we're
like the best clientele on a Monday. Right, what's going on?
Sounds like I'm taking a day off work.
Monday knew a shift. That's where I'm at.
If only I knew a show that was on Friday nights that could
I don't know what.
Yeah. So in regards to the Stone Cold, he's teaming up with a group called El Segundo. Yeah, brewing in Cali.
Okay.
So it's called the Broken Skull IPA, which is the ranch that he lives on is called the Broken Skull Ranch.
So we're not even making it in Texas. We're going to California to make a Texan's beer. Okay.
It's actually being released today, as a matter of fact.
Is it really?
Yeah, they had like some kind of special release event for this beer.
Surprised there was no El Segundo tap takeover around here for all those great El Segundo beers that we have been yearning for here in Michigan.
I also think that the event itself, you could actually pay extra to get like to just meet the Stone Cold at the event because he's supposed to.
That would have been cool 20 years ago. I don't know. I mean, he's still pretty big and scary, but I mean that's cool back in the 90s.
Well, wasn't he in The Expendables or something like that? So he's like a current movie star.
Was he
the first one? Wasn't he? He was like like one of the bad guys in the first Expendables. So he might have. Not even relevant for like a decade.
Like I know Kevin Nash was in Magic Mike. That's all.
He was in both of
Punisher. And Punisher.
Oh, yeah, he was in Punisher.
He was in the Longest Yard remake.
Yes. He
was. Yeah, he was one of the guards in that movie. Steiner.
I forgot there was so many. Yeah, there were so many rap and wrestlers in there. Nelly was in there.
Great Khali was in there.
The Great Khali was in there. Yeah. Rob Schneider,
Rob Schneider had like a 30-second like speaking line in that movie, and that was it.
You can do it.
Yeah. Punk at the showers tonight.
That's such a great movie. That and like The Replacements are definitely like random movies that I just love to watch whenever they're on because it's just stupid movie. Like Keanu Reeves is a quarterback. I know quarterback.
That was a good movie, though.
Impression. No sold by everyone here.
I totally thought you were him for a second. Keanu! Keanu!
Appreciate that. I'll give you my autograph later.
Oh, nice.
What's his name? Means like something like wind over a mountain or some crazy Polynesian.
Last time I knew
shit.
It was like I'm a horrible bad actor since Bill and Ted.
Bill
and Ted.
Yeah. But the amazing thing is he made so much money off the Matrix movies. Like he is one of the richest actors in the world. He never has to work again, and he probably shouldn't, except for more John Wick movies because that was
just
actually,
make some crappy movies from here on out. Who cares?
Okay, you're still making money, and you're playing with house money every time you act.
That's true. Bill and Ted, I'd be happy.
They're making the sequel to it.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting.
Ted 3. What are they, like 60 now? Here comes Bill and Ted 3.
They got to be in their late 40s, early 50s.
Wild Stallions reunited.
Be excellent to each other.
Well, by now, they should be like the giant, famous, biggest band in the world.
You
rock
would think.
Stars, right? So.
But are they going to travel back in time to George Carlin?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's the one bad thing. Is, yeah.
Well, you know, they got all these holograms and stuff now. So
hologram
just
George Carlin.
CG, yeah.
God, everything that we mentioned today, I keep thinking of South Park with the hologram, Kurt Cobain, and did you ever watch?
I don't watch South Park.
Oh my gosh! or you were talking about the crowdfunding the Washington Redskins Go Fuck Yourself episode.
Yep. Hey, first F-bomb, not us.
Yeah.
Oh, now we ruined it. We're playing hearts. We just broke hearts. Now. Here they come now.
My bad. I told you it was PG-13. That's the
so much.
Especially because the actual title, I believe, is Go Fund Yourself.
Oh, yeah, Go Fund Yourself.
Oops.
So
F-bombs fly all over the place.
Yeah.
Damn it, Ken.
Is that a menu?
It is a menu for Comos. It is a menu for Comos. Okay, here you go.
I had no idea what's going on.
I was placing an order for Comos.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're placing an order.
Someone's hungry.
The toasted ravioli is
pretty good. So we're drinking from the WAB, the copper amber something or another.
Yeah, we pretty much killed this
Michigan
bad
copper.
So, yeah, only like one pour left.
Really good.
What is it? When you went there, what does it say? What style?
Ask him.
Yeah, I didn't read the menu.
It could be because Untappd said it was a barley wine. It's not a barley wine.
They just released it yesterday.
Yeah. There was another one in there. If you looked at Untappd, that said it was an amber as well.
Yeah, because the only one I found was a barley wine. I'm like,
on Untappd,
not a wine.
American
when
people
amber.
Do it originally, like, they don't know what the hell they're drinking.
Right.
So you just always be like, hey, it's this. And you're like, no, it's not.
I guess you kind of just trust sometimes that the brewery puts it out and not some drunk guy in the corner.
I'll even admit, back when I was a novice beer drinker, I remember looking, and Kunin had just tapped their strawberry ice bock.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, this is delicious. So I went and I couldn't find it on Untappd. I was searching ice, I-C-E, bock. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll add it. I'm cool. I'm adding this to Untappd, guys. This is great.
You're like, I'm doing everyone a service now.
Yeah.
I win.
And still, if you search it now, there's one person checking.
I might have deleted it.
Day, there's one.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's Michigan Copper with a Michigan Copper hop to have fruity notes and aromas.
It's not the one I checked in then. That was just the one that came up on there.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Whatever.
Oops.
Go ahead and check another one.
Yep,
add to your unique beer count.
Yep.
I was going to say, and then you got to check into 2015 version of it, too, because, you know, you're having the 2015 version as well as the regular version.
Right. Well, one's a barley wine, apparently.
Do you intentionally, find one that even though you had the 15, you go back and do the 14 on Untappd?
No, I've never done that.
You've never done that?
I've never done that. What was so funny, though, is that I was checking in because I had my 1,000th beer on Untappd, And I'm like, oh, man, this is a perfect troll moment. So I was drinking something from Founders. It might have been just a standard Founders porter. I had never checked it in on Untappd. And I'm like drinking this macro swell, happy one.
That was great. Remember when you got junk from people because you rated Trooper like a 4?
Oh, yeah. I rated Trooper. What did I rate? I rated Trooper higher than I rated Guinness. Not Guinness.
Well, you rated
some
Guinness
other beer we drank. We had a lot of beers.
That was the metal
rated,
beer. That was the Three Floyds metal beer.
The Permanent Funeral.
Oh, that's a good beer.
It is.
I have you had Trooper, though?
I've not had Trooper.
The Iron Maiden?
Yeah, Iron Maiden beer. I thought Trooper was better than Permanent Funeral.
And then
different styles.
And Three Floyds released that Cannibal Corpse one not that long ago, I don't think.
Well, Three Floyds basically releases every metal beer.
Yeah, we were looking at that. It's like every single one is from them. And
except for the American Badass Lager. That was delicious.
That actually wasn't bad. I would drink that.
The original or the new one?
The new one.
Yeah, the new one.
Craft version of Bush. It's a corner. Is that what?
It was good. I would drink that if I had like 15 beers that day, like out in the sun.
Wait, would you drink it for the 15 beers or after the 15?
Oh, probably like 16 and up. I'm drinking that. Like, yeah,
I think my pee might be stronger than that beer.
I don't know about that. We'll have to do a taste test later.
Jimmy, coming up in an hour.
Yeah, it'll be our last segment.
All right.
If you guys like puking on the radio.
You know, I have yet to puke on the radio, so it would be a first. I don't know if it'd be a first in the studio.
I bet it would be.
I don't know. We've never had anyone puke on the radio.
No, we've had somebody
pass
puke.
Out.
Well, we had,
had someone pass out drunk?
A person puke in the building next door.
Yeah, and we've had people pass out in the studio as they're trying to be interviewed.
Yep.
And then he left and proceeded to go find, like, some school bus graveyard.
Yeah, went missing.
Wait a minute. What? School bus graveyard.
I still remember that.
So we had, and this is, again, probably one of our more vulgar episodes, which is weird because, like, we had city officials.
Yes, we did. Listening.
Being a part of it. But we had the Hamtramck Labor Day Festival. A bunch of the organizers.
The Polish Fest.
And one of the guys came on, and we were doing shots of Malort, Yeji, drinking beers. He brought a bottle of Jaeger with him.
I think he finished the whole bottle.
Finished the whole fifth of Jaeger during the show.
He brought the bottle just for himself.
At one point, we had to, like, not kick him out, but, like, one of the people grabbed him and took him outside and, like, hey, hang out here, have a cigarette, whatever, and they'll be done, like, 15 minutes because it was towards the end of the show. Show ends, he's gone.
Yeah,
everyone
just took off.
Everyone's calling him, texting him, trying to get a hold of him. Like, literally, like, texting, phone calls, Facebook message, every means of communication shy of, like, smoke signals. And
someone finally got a hold of him,
and they're like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm at the bus graveyard.
The bus graveyard.
He's like, I see dinosaurs, man.
Yeah, and people are like, what in the hell is this guy talking about? And then one of the other guys from Cave, who was on the show following us, comes up. He goes, oh, yeah, the old school bus depot. He's like, it's like 5 blocks this way, 6 blocks that way. And we're like, there really is a school bus graveyard? Like, how? What random, you know, way did he find
this guy couldn't even sit up straight in a seat.
He's
I don't
wandering.
Know how the hell he found himself
he's
a mile down the road.
Like, he's tenacious. Like, you know, rides his bike, like, all around like, Detroit and shit, rode it to Chicago and back. And
what?
Yep.
Yeah, I think the only time I've ever been, like, completely sloshed while doing a show was when we, pre-this Better on Draft, we had, a trial run with a friend of mine, and we were trying to see if we could taste the difference between 4-day-old two-hearted and 40-day-old two-hearted. Because somebody had, was like, you know, oh, I found this two-hearted. It was like 3 weeks old, and I don't want to drink it. And I'm like, okay. Can you really taste the difference between, you know, 4 days and, you know.
Someone complained about 40-day-old beer?
No, 21-day-old beer, three-week beer.
That's nothing until you've had a 10-year-old?
11-year-old.
11-year-old?
Yingling Black and Tan.
Oh, I would drink that.
We did
that. Oh, how was it?
It tasted exactly the same as all.
No difference. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's definitely one of our...
Anticlimactic, yeah.
That's definitely one of our guilty pleasures here at the show is that Black and Tan from Yingling.
Yeah.
So here's...
I was just going to say a decade-old beer.
Yeah. No.
That's what we like. Sorry.
No, I drink beer too fast to have it age for a decade.
I drink it too fast and... last week.
So
yeah, you did.
I'm curious what you guys think. Obviously, you have a more of an industry perspective, as well as you guys are opening up your own brewery. Yuengling, is it craft beer? Yes or no?
I think we've had that conversation on our show as well.
Yeah. We have.
It's not technically
right,
but I mean,
how is it not technically? It falls under all the craft beer.
Is it under the volume designation?
6 million barrels now.
Oh, that's right. They upped it from three, didn't they? Fuck.
From two. Two to six.
It's like when I give up swearing for Lent and then you like stub your toe.
It's not Lent, so it don't matter.
I would say under that standard, okay, but.
Under the official definition, right, it is considered right. Craft.
I would say it's not.
So but what about.
Also because of a lot of the styles and the mouthfeel, the textures, like the way it is.
Right, it's very commercialized, yeah. You know, pretty much.
What about Sam Adams then?
Same thing. I mean, the way that they're going with some of their smaller batch stuff, like this new beer that's coming out here soon.
The Raw Rebel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Raw Rebel actually looks pretty good. I had the Rebel and I liked it. 30 days from brew to
pull. Still that's interested.
Waiting for it to hit.
Still interested.
So then the big question as I ask, founders.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, here
it's
we
a
go.
Trick question.
Oh, boy.
It's not a trick question. It's
a trap question.
Well, here's the thing. You have the whole crafty, because I know like you mentioned this a little bit when you were hanging out on Monday. Yeah, there are smaller breweries that have corporate influence. Now, does that mean that there's a lot of, because I know with like Lagunitas and Heineken doesn't really have any say in the U.S.
Right.
It's all worldwide distro. Whoever has a stake in founders really telling them what to do, how to make beer, what they're doing, controlling stuff? Not really. They're still kind of doing their own thing.
Right. I mean, and the good thing with a place like Founders, even Bell's, you go into the tap room and you're finding beers that are still handcrafted in that facility. You go into...
You say the same thing even still for Goose Island. And
right. It's just harder. You go to Sam Adams. They don't have a lot of that stuff on tap. The weird one-off.
It's like five beers if you go there, right, if I remember correctly.
So that's why I would say Sam Adams and Yuengling, no. Founders, Bell's, yes.
Sam's isn't because they did break that even the new limit.
Right.
But the majority of that was Angry Orchard pushed them over.
Right.
So... Wasn't really.
I didn't even know that Sam Adams owns Angry Orchard.
Yeah, so they own.
No, I didn't know that either.
Wow. Not Sam Adams, really. Boston Beer Company.
Boston Beer owns Sam Adams, Coney Island, Twisted Tea, Angry Orchard, and then another one that I can never remember. Traveler.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that either. Wow.
I actually like a lot of the Traveler beers. Let me rephrase that. They're really hit or miss. I either love them or I hate them.
To me, they're very you could tell they were made to be mass marketed.
Yeah.
You know, that's really not much difference between anything from Traveler than Shock Top or Lightning Kugel.
Yep.
That's fair. You know, we always bring up the craft versus crafty discussion.
Because you have the app, which
we
do
have. Yeah, we have heard about this.
So I don't know if you guys had heard about this, but we have an app where you literally scan a barcode of a beer, and it tells you if it's craft beer or not. And we took a picture of Founders, and it wasn't craft beer.
No?
So I
would still disagree with that, because Founders, to me, the stuff that they push out there, the stuff that you can buy regularly, is the stuff that they know that they can make a crap ton of money on, because it appeals to the craft beer drinker. Still, like I had stated, you go into the tap room and you will get all that one-off small batch. Let's try this before we take it to that level.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, try all that stuff.
Once you get to that point, anyway, like you have to kind of stick with what sells,
right?
Yeah. You know, you can do maybe a series of rotating 22s where you're doing experimental stuff,
right? New Belgium,
but it's not really a scalable factor, you know, to just keep doing experimental stuff.
Yeah,
like Shorts. What they do with having several hundred unique different beer all the damn time is not, like, I know he wants the state of Michigan, which is good because there's no way that's a U.S. scalable
platform. Oh, no, not at all.
Right. No.
But, I mean, he stays in the state of Michigan.
Yeah,
he doesn't go out.
Then he has no interest in moving past it, and that's fine because it's such a small footprint. But going for even probably more than 15 states, you would not be able to use that platform.
But even that, you're looking at someone, you know, the was it Jim? What's Short's founder's name?
Jim Short.
Yeah.
Jim Short. I was going to say that. I'm like, it sounds too much like Jim Schwartz. And I'm like, oh, maybe I messed that up. But You have Jim Short, and he's making money and he's happy. And, yeah. You know, so for some people that's a lot. But we were talking, you know, the brewery we went on a tour with earlier this week. We won't mention the name of it, just because of what I'm about to say. But they're like, you know, hey, if Budweiser came and gave me millions of dollars, hell yeah, I'm gonna sell.
But wow. So many breweries have that mentality nowadays.
That's true. That's true. But it's not fair, to call somebody out for.
That's the only reason Perrin even existed. It was a marketing guy who wanted to have a build a business that he could sell for a few million. So that's the only reason that even got started, and he managed to do it with Oscar Blues.
It's a nice brewery over there, though.
It is.
Oh, yeah, that place was cool.
I still
so they started out production yet. Only, no right. tap room, and right. you know, his whole thing was, I want to build a brand and sell it off.
Right.
And there's, as long as you're open with that and fine with it getting out and not really hiding it, go for it.
Right.
It's the people that are like, I would never, and then the moment they turn around, they sell it.
Yeah.
Like they say, like, that's what happened with like Elysian. They're like, we'll never do it. We'll never do it. And all of a sudden, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I'll never sell out. Here's $20 million. Oh, okay. Where do I sign?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's the everybody, as a $1 million man says, everybody's got a price.
That's right.
That's we laugh about it, and it's like an old 90s reference, but no, the fact of the matter is
it's
true.
It's even so 80s true. Reference.
Is it 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that everybody's got a price, and sooner or later, you know, if you have a great promotion, you have a great product, and somebody wants to come and give you money to where you don't have to worry about money anymore, what do you do? I mean, Elysian, their brew room's still open. Like, they just bought Elysian. They didn't, like...
They bought to my understanding, the whole thing. That's why, like, the one brewer or whatever left was like, F this, I'm out. Because he goes, they did it against my will or against, you know, what I wanted to do. They squeezed him out of the conversation. And they do, I mean, you still have kind of control over your brew pub, like Goose Island does.
Right.
The CBA, pretty much all of them do. But, I mean, a lot of it, they're going to take a lot of your flagship stuff and make it national. But there's not a bad argument to that.
Like the pumpkin peach ale that they made fun of on the Super Bowl commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I still I love that commercial. It's probably one of my favorite Super Bowl commercials. The fact of the matter is that, you know, we definitely don't care what you drink as long, you know, obviously, Mike, here, you drink a lot more liquor than you do beer.
Liquor and cider. I'm a big cider fan.
Nice. Okay.
You know, but the fact is that no matter what, as long as you enjoy it, we don't care.
I came in wearing a PBR jersey today.
Our PBR shirt under it.
Yeah. And there is nothing wrong with PBR.
No, I had three before I came
here. I have like a little PBR beanie I was wearing earlier.
I had one before that. Red Wings game on Tuesday.
So, but before we go on break, I want to ask you guys one quick question. Right. We'll start off with Doug. What's your guilty pleasure beer?
That's the first response we normally get.
I'd say probably PBR.
PBR?
Yeah.
Go down the line.
My be Blue Light.
Blue Light? Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Fair.
All right.
Nothing wrong.
No shame.
Yep.
See, I'm trying to think, like, because I don't have a guilty pleasure with PBR and Stroh's. I will openly drink those.
Yeah, his is Woodchuck.
I love Woodchuck, too.
Cider is good.
I love
mine would
cider,
probably be,
but I cannot do
you know, I really do enjoy some of the multinational conglomerate, you know, European pilsners. So, like, Stella.
Warsteiner.
Carlsberg, Warsteiner, all that.
Carlsberg's really good.
It's really good.
But so many people have dropped, so many distributors have dropped Carlsberg or the importer form that it's impossible to find. You go over the river to Canada, and it's in every single bar on draft.
Of course, just go to the beer store and bring it back.
If you want something, I'll bring it back.
You gotta pay duty on it, or you gotta stay for more than like 24 hours. And
you know, I've never had, I still haven't figured out the laws on duty just because I can't figure it out. Like, I'll always, whenever I go to
duty,
I know. whenever I go to the casino, I'll come back and I'll usually bring like two handles of liquor without having to pay any duties or anything like that. So
I believe you're allowed one case, one bottle, and then I forget the allotment for wine. But it's like one case, 1 liter of liquor.
And that's just for crossing over. And then after that,
and that's without,
like
and you have to pay more. Then, like, even in the U.S., we have states where you can't take stuff in and out at all.
Mm-hmm. Legally.
Or, yeah, with an allotment. Like Pennsylvania, you cannot take anything in or out of that state legally. Iowa was, you weren't allowed, like, one case of beer, one fifth, or, like one small bottle of wine.
You can't enforce that, though. We don't have border patrol on the state. I mean, who's going to chase you down?
But if you get caught, if you like, because we've had friends that have traveled and they're like, we're going to load up an entire van, almost like Seinfeld taking the bottles back. We're going to load up an entire, you know, truck full of beer and then bring it back here. And if you cross into one of those states and for whatever reason you pulled over, like, hey, what are you hauling?
Yep.
You know, then you do
Yeah, it's pretty much like a secondary offense to where, you know, you're probably not going to get pulled over on suspicion of boot.
Unless you've got a whole
bootlegging.
Right. Unless, unless you've got a whole pickup truck bed filled with, you know, cases upon cases of stuff. But if it's in a van.
If it's in a van, unless you mess up otherwise, like, you're fine. But. Right.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to refill our beers. We pretty much destroyed that growler.
Yep. Yeah, we did.
Nothing left.
They the guys over here brought some beer of their own for us to try. So we're going to definitely try some of that.
I only rubbed one of them on my genitals.
Yeah. Oh, we have to guess which one. We have to taste it and guess.
By taste and scent, you have to guess.
Then guess which one I didn't rub mine on.
All right,
is that why I'm itchy now?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll be right back with a Better on Draft podcast. Welcome back to segment two of the Better on Draft podcast. We're still here with Mike's Unhappy Hour.
Homeward Brewed. I don't think we can say the other name. PG-13.
Yeah.
To be named at a
Well, we can't.
A vulgar name for a show.
It's not
Head in the Donger.
Head in the Donger? It's not that bad.
I mean, that's
not bad. Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
I expected something else.
Well, no, because like we do Tits Out Tuesday and give away vibrators and stuff.
Yeah, just don't listen to it when
Mike
is on your show. Like, yeah, we're going to say it's 21 and over because it gets pretty vulgar.
Well, that, I think all shows about beer are supposed to be 21 and over.
That one's not about beer. That one's about other stuff.
That
other
was
stuff.
Us trying to clean up Mike's Unhappy Hour, and we have an idea. We'll just
and you went the wrong way.
Come in an hour earlier and try to get out of our system.
Yeah, the problem is that we drink while we're doing it, so it makes Mike's Unhappy Hour
worse.
Who drinks while they host podcasts?
Because we really need to have it go Homeward Brewed, Mike's Unhappy Hour, Head in the Donger.
Yes.
And that way the escalation is more in tune with the drinking. Yeah.
And little do people know that Head in the Donger will be in Chinese at that point because we'll be so shmammered.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that or, you know, I'll sneak out and smoke weed every now and then. So it's I'll probably look Chinese by the time Head in the Donger.
Hey, no, it's legal in this city, so you're perfect.
Yeah, you're in the right city for that.
I have my card,
You live here.
In
you...
Ferndale, as long as you're
I know that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, what's the amount?
It's a personal gram to own,
But Detroit,
well,
technically,
but you have to have your card, right?
Well, who's
not in Ferndale.
Not in Ferndale.
So
not
if I'm
Ferndale.
Driving home with a doobie on me, I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
Unless you get pulled over by an Oakland County sheriff.
Well,
arguably.
Those are everywhere.
It cannot be, if you're driving a vehicle, it cannot be within arm's reach.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got to throw it on the back seat.
Back seat, trunk, whatever, yeah.
Huh. So it's the same as alcohol, except for up to.
Yeah.
It's not
technically legal. It's decriminalized.
Yes.
Right.
They're not going to mess it. The city won't.
The city won't, but
above the city,
the state will. Yeah.
You know, Michigan.
If you got pulled over by a state trooper at 9 in Woodward,
you're screwed.
And you had a doobie.
Then. Didn't like Lake Orion just legalize it too?
I have no idea.
There's a handful of cities that just decriminalized it.
Well, they're saying that Michigan will probably be 2016.
It's supposed to be coming up.
It's going to be on the ballot.
Like next November. So, yeah.
Have you heard, though, like out in Colorado, they've made so much revenue off the taxes from it. They're actually giving tax breaks now.
Oh, yeah, to everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone's
schools
getting a stipend.
Schools are fully funded, like everything.
Right.
Crime.
It would be a great industry for Michigan, I think.
It would be.
Well, and then we can make, you know, weed-flavored beer.
Which
they already have hemp beer.
That sounds terrible.
They do.
But, you know, they're part of the same family, so that's why you have, like, Ridiculous and what's Oscar Blues?
Pinner.
But I remember when weed was legalized in Colorado, I was still working for a beer distributor at the time. We were getting all the training videos from the Colorado breweries, and it was nothing but like weed references throughout the entire training video.
Oh, geez. So does somebody want to hand me what do you? We are drinking the barrel aged Mayan Mocha style.
Yes, and it's very good. You should try this. It is. I don't know why you're so scared of hot things. This isn't hot. This is about the level of the ghost
really,
pepper.
It's
one.
Not. It has like no spice to
it. Somebody,
I'm a giant wuss, so I won't do it.
Oh, hand it, if you got. I put a glass in front of you. If you want to hand it down to, there should be one. Someone's bogarted.
There's one here.
That's probably it, right there. Yep.
All
right,
I'll do it. Whatever. I don't
it's
care.
Not. Yeah.
No, because we were at we broadcasted live from the Michigan Brewers Guild Summer Festival, and this sweet borderline elderly woman came up to us. Yep. She's like, "You guys need beer?"
Got that face, by the way.
And we're like, "Yes, we would love for you to bring us beer." And she brought back ghost pepper beer from
Ghost Pepper Stout from where the hell was it from? It was somewhere. I can't remember. I'm like, really? That's what you decide to bring back for somebody?
Yeah, ghost pepper beer. I have nothing to chase it with. I'm trying to talk. My mouth is on fire.
And it's 90 degrees outside.
We were drinking ghost pepper beer at the Fall Fest.
Yeah, I drank it on accident.
He tried it. I drank like 4 cups of it.
Who
was
it from? Do you remember?
Do you remember? Was that?
Ask Nick. Nick's the wizard.
Might have been CJ's.
Might have technical genius over there.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nick can find it.
Somebody had handed it to me and said, "Here, try it." And I'm like, "Oh, sure, no problem." My friends wouldn't give me a ghost pepper beer because they know I don't like anything hot. Uh-huh. Sure enough, it was bad.
It was from somewhere up north is the one that we had.
Yeah. I got really excited when he said, "This is ghost pepper," and I drank it and then ran and got in line as fast as I could. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I didn't like it so much. Were you guys at the Fall Festival at all or no?
No, we had that was your daughter's birthday, and I had some other my day job commitments, and then I don't know where Scott was.
Drinking.
Drinking
beer. Yeah, why not?
Drinking beer instead of drinking beer.
Enjoying the fun side?
Yes. So. They don't know that story. I don't think it's appropriate.
It's not appropriate for this show in any way, shape, or form.
Side jokes getting dropped. I don't know.
Captain Scorch, was that what it was?
Yeah, Captain Scorch.
Where was that from?
Well, no, like, the fun side thing, if you check out our Facebook page or go through like any of our shows, especially the one with Feral Fest, Feral Ground, you'll understand why we call Scott Fun Side.
Yes. By the way, that was Captain Scorch that we were drinking by Brewery Ferment.
Okay.
Very good beer.
No, this one had
Why not?
Like a nautical theme or something.
I can't remember what the hell it was.
Was it the Edmund Fitzgerald? Because that's not a ghost pepper.
No, it was.
It was an actual ghost pepper, either porter or stout. It was something.
Some
from
brewery up north.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was it Ride the Ghost Whip from Black Lotus?
No,
that's a good one too.
Might as well be a bourbon barrel triple IPA ghost pepper beer. Might as well get everything that I hate
right up Ken's alley, guys.
Just put everything you hate in one glass.
I can go back and find it here.
Probably hate
it
more
than
anything.
I did, I think.
That's a lot of scrolling.
Yeah, it is, dude. It's months and months back. But
that's okay.
Give me an hour.
We'll give you some time as we continue to talk here. So, you know, we brought up an article. During the pre-show, we do a lot of talking, and we brought up an article in regards to the decline of bars in the area because of the craft beer industry and how people are changing what they're spending money on, and they're not necessarily going to dive bars anymore. They're going to, bars that are going to carry more craft beer, more craft cocktails, more than anything. Do you guys see that out in the White Lake area, the Waterford area, or is it kind of, you know, this the first you're kind of seeing it or hearing it?
I'm sorry.
Keep scrolling.
We're on Untapped. Being given.
No, they were talking about how do you see a decline in regular bars, especially dive bars, and an increase in high-end restaurants, craft cocktail bars, and breweries?
I wouldn't say a decline in regular bars. There's not a whole lot of them out there anyway. They're more sports-themed anyway.
Okay.
But what you are seeing is a decline in domestic handles and an incline in craft beer handles.
Yeah.
So even the smaller craft beer bars, sports bars, are instead of having 4, 5, or 6, domestic beers, even, beers like Fat Tire, Blue Moon, stuff like that, they're moving away from that and going to an IPA, other, local smaller regional, craft breweries. Yeah,
that's the one thing I hate. I don't like about a lot of these bars is that it's always IPAs, and I just do not like IPAs
because they're really popular.
Much.
We talk about that once. Oh, yeah. It's like, also, they're like way too popular.
It's popular, and then also at the distributor level, they are incentivized to push certain beers, certain styles, and they have their playbook. And it's like, I want to bring in a bunch of craft beer. And it's like, awesome. Here's Sierra Nevada. Here's Magic Hat. Here's this. Here's that. Here's this. And those are the ones you recommend. They don't want you recommending offshoot styles because they want to get prime placements on the flagships. And that's kind of how it operates for pretty much the entire country. It's all forced.
Was it so hard to walk into a craft beer bar and out of the 40 taps, 25 of them being some type of India Pale Ale?
Well, the problem I have is I'm not going to say what bar it was.
I found it. It's the Ghost of Stout Chocula from Old Peninsula.
That sounds good. I want that now. I want to go drink that.
It was pretty warm.
Sorry. Anyway.
So does somebody want the rest of this bourbon barrel Mayan mocha?
Oh, you can pass it down, sir. I will definitely take another.
I'm not going to say the name of the bar, but they recently went from like 12 draft lines up to 40. And they posted the draft selection, and literally it was maybe across those 40 handles, five styles of beer with like eight different like beers in each style. And I'm like, that's not – you're wasting having 40 handles by having
– Well, yeah, absolutely.
Numerous blondes and American wheats and, you know, I'm like, you're a restaurant. You don't have a porter or a stout, which if you're a restaurant, you should have those on handle year-round.
Well, there's a certain tap takeover taking place downtown here where they have a lot of taps, and they're talking about like 50 variants of a single
one
specific IPA. You guys probably know what I'm referring to with
Crooked Tree.
Yeah, it's a crooked tree.
Like 50 variants.
Well, they had
Shorts when they did the world record. It was like like 30 or 40 of a variant of like one beer.
Like, what are you doing at that point? How different can it get?
What they did at the Summer Beer Fest anyway, they would use the inline infusion thing, and they would infuse the Crooked Tree with pineapple or strawberries or
raspberries,
so I'm sure
blueberries. There was everything, peach.
But I don't think you can do that for 130 beers. Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure
you're going to run out of things.
Infuse aged and
cat. There's only so many fruits out there that you can infuse.
Like, I infuse this with cupcakes. Here you go.
Pretzels.
Pretzel infused IPA. Here you go, guys. Like, all right.
Kale.
Well, I'm actually, thanks to one of our sponsors over at.
Speaking of the infusions.
Yeah, thanks to one of our sponsors over at 3Nick's scoreboard. We have a infused 312 that's infused with chocolate and coffee. So it really has a lot. If you guys ever had the Shorts chocolate wheat. Really tastes a lot like that. It's in the howler over there. So if you want to pass it around, or if you're still drinking the,
I need a clean cup.
I know we're right going through cups. This is what we do. That's the one complaint about the network with us.
I will. this is one of ours here.
Yeah. So let's do this first.
It smells good. What do we have here? This one.
If you guys are on tap, guys, these are all on tap.
So we can check this.
Oh yeah.
Like we have a show
on tap or no? Well, it's same beer.
Yeah, well, this one is it's called Toes in the Sand. So it's an American wheat brewed with coriander, orange peel, and honey.
That's good. That's very good.
Checks in right around 6%.
Yeah, that's very good. This is drinkable.
As I'm drinking it, I'm like, I could finish this really, really quick.
Yeah, it's very, very good summer beer.
Yeah, I like that one.
Smooth, easy.
I was going to say the smell's a little overbearing, but the taste is just perfect. It's so smooth and so...
Kind of makes me think of that blueberry beer we had where you smell the blueberries, but you don't really...
Was it the nice bloobs?
Yeah, the nice bloobs.
The nice bloobs.
Overpowering blueberry, which gives a nice smell, but you don't not overpowering
our
taste.
Good friends at North Center.
Yep.
Yeah. Another one of our sponsors. We appreciate you guys
over
at North Center.
I always love the creativity of certain beer names.
Well, I think he changed it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was something else.
You're my boy, Blue Berry Pie Ale, and now those nice bloobs.
Well, there's I can't remember the name of the brewery. It's over in Windsor. It's like right in downtown Windsor, and they have like up next on stage.
Walkerville?
Amber. Walkerville is about half hour outside.
Oh, okay.
They have up next on stage. Amber. Once you go black IPA.
Oh shit.
Yeah, let us know where it's at because we are going there.
It's downtown Windsor.
I was going to say,
we're going there Sunday.
We should take a trip across the border.
It's pretty much almost like right when you get off the tunnel and then like backtrack down towards downtown. Well, we'll Walkerville is like 15, 20 minutes south.
We can go to Peppers.
Because it's a little bit past.
Oh my gosh.
Most of the nightclubs are gone.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
They've all turned into pubs and breweries. And high-end, like you're kind of like you were talking about, craft cocktail bars and stuff like that.
It swung the other
Is the
way.
Honest Lawyer still there?
The Honest Lawyer.
Honest Lawyer. Was that the one that was in the basement?
Yeah. They had the little bowling alley in the back.
That is the Dugout now.
Wow. Yeah, that one's gone.
That's kind of downtown Windsor.
Probably
was the
totally
honest...
different now down there over there.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been to downtown Windsor since my wife's 19th birthday.
Yeah, I think that was.
So that would have been 5 years ago.
But they have, like, even before the Honest Lawyer, it was, like, an Italian restaurant. And everything over there changes so often. But
Especially in the last few years with the smoking ban and everything.
You have the Manchester, which is like the official Manchester United bar of all of Canada.
I'm there.
That place is awesome.
Sold.
Go.
I'm sold.
That place is fun.
All I can do is my baby takes the morning train. Thank you, Eurotrip, for that great segment.
You're not a mank, you're a wank.
All right, what do we have here?
Hold on.
Yeah, you guys got to finish
it. You guys got to catch up. Yeah. You guys drink way too slow.
We got one more after this.
Because we're too busy talking, unlike you. We're just like, I'm just going to drink and take shots.
Hey, it works.
I didn't pour you one, Mike. So you've tried all these ones.
What's this one right here?
This one is our standard American Amber. So this is one of our flagships. It's one of the first ones I ever made. It's the Rustic Leaf Amber.
I like this. This is a good one, too.
I love Amber Ales.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm excited to try next up on the stage, Amber. Yeah.
Well, next up for us is probably
Craft Heads. I think it is the name of it. You can Google it.
Which one?
For the brewery in downtown.
I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
I kind of want to go there now.
Out of left field is Mike.
The beer was okay. Walkerville is definitely a much better beer.
But yeah, but with a name like
You go black, I mean, I'm drinking that all day.
You got to go for the experience.
It's be the worst
anything.
Beer on the planet. I'm going to drink it because of the name at that point.
I'm going to have to look for, what was it called again?
I think it's called Craft Heads.
Craft
Brewing.
Heads.
Craft Heads.
So we were just there like a couple of months ago. If I would have known that, we would have made a detour.
Oh, yeah. We were there for the casino, weren't we?
Yep.
I remember I had signed up for like the Windsor. Like I'm at like 20% right now for gambling because after we were done playing Pygau, I went to roulette, and because I was playing like $25, $30 hands of roulette, it was tracking all that money. Damn, I walked out. I'm like 20% before. I'm like a diamond member now.
Nice.
So Craft Heads Brewery, it's over on University Avenue in Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, that's right down.
It's right at the tunnel. Like you get at the tunnel.
Well, we know where
we're
stopping. Oh, it sounds like it's right by Tunnel Barbecue.
Yeah.
Is that even still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Tunnel Barbecue is still there.
I've been there forever.
Yeah, you get out at the tunnel and you have to like make a right and a right back on Ulat to basically get back towards the water. So as I'm looking at the
But also whenever you're in Windsor, go to the Loose Goose, which is a great bad decision bar.
Bad decision bar. I'm all about that. Yeah.
Can we discuss a bad decision that you may have had at the bad decision bar?
Not particularly that one.
We're getting more beer, by the way.
He's always in the list of Thrillist.
Well, I know he's probably not going to like this one. If he's not an IPA fan, this is actually a double IPA.
Silver?
Yeah. This one is the
new version. Yeah. Is
the earlier version, which is this one. This one comes in at 8.3%.
If it's not kick you in the face bitter, I'm fine.
It's actually not. Oh, it's not. Very, very
like,
balanced.
I love Hop Slam. Like, Hop Slam is delicious. I hated, what do you call it?
This one,
Devil
this
Dancer.
Is.
What do you call it?
Right, this is nothing like that. It's still about 90 IBUs. But it's 8.3. Now, the newer version that we just made, it's on tap, actually, at a brewery, is 9.2. So
that one's a lot more balanced. I think that one.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a lot more balanced and not bitter to be bitter.
No.
Because for some reason
But at 8.3, it does not taste like 8.3, and it will come back and bite you in your ass.
Did he only give us two glasses of this, Nick? Or did you
I think here.
Here you go.
Oh, I gave you both one, didn't I?
I should have get one.
No, no, yeah,
as I
wow.
I thought there was no bell here, Dan.
Yeah, Dan broke the
there
one
is
rule.
No
broke
bell.
The
that was rule. My drunk hand.
There is no bell.
I'm
going to
hide
rule.
That from
you. Drunk already? Come on.
Yeah, we can still hear you, Dan. Don't
Knock
it off. Keep talking. What do you
guys do? That's pretty balanced. That's
It's very, very balanced. Yeah. Now, if you guys get the chance, you know, at some point, well, it's running low where it's at now. It's almost gone, which we're going to stop and drink some later. But, the 9.2.
Yeah,
because
go drink your own beer so that people don't get to enjoy it.
It's been there for two and a half weeks. They can enjoy it all they want. They have.
Yeah.
But I have to go get it before it runs out. But the 9.2 is even more balanced, a little more malty, a little sweetness to it, but it's so smooth and balanced.
Said where it's at.
Yeah, where's it
at? We're not really allowed to, so we'll say it off air.
All right.
You guys can personally spread the word.
Yep.
Okay, that's fair.
Here's, you know, the whole three-tier thing. Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? Welcome to Michigan.
I don't know what you're... It's on tap at your house, at your kegerator.
Yep. Yeah. You're
going back afterwards.
Exactly. Yep.
Corny keg.
So if you guys, since you guys are all on tap, guys, if you want to get on and rate it, you're more than welcome.
We will.
All of them. This one's the Silverback. So look up Silverback IIPA. So Silverback.
Well, it's all from Rustic Leaf, right?
Yeah, you can look at that.
You can find it.
The Rustic Leaf Amber and Toes in the Sand, Summer Wheat.
Ken's got the Como's menu.
I was going to say, at the Como's menu again.
You must really be hungry today.
What is just a little.
So going back to the bar conversation really, really quick, have you guys, I mean, being that you guys are out in White Lake, is there a lot of businesses in general, like bars and all that way? I don't go out that way very, very often. What are some of the local hot spots out in the White Lake area?
White Lake, not Doug's so house? Much. Yeah, my house.
Doug's house.
Not so much in White Lake itself. You get down closer to Waterford, you've got Sharks Club, obviously, which is probably
you
the
go to all the nightclubs in Pontiac.
Right. And there's a lot of them.
Hey, electricity is still big. Yeah.
All two? Not.
Right.
Yeah, all two.
Now,
is Tiki Bob's closed?
Tiki Bob's has been gone for a while.
Chicago.
Mustang Jane's. What, closed already?
Did it close?
Yeah, they're closed.
And Tonic.
Really, the only two, Tonic's gone.
Tonic's gone.
So that leaves
It's just electricity and then Crowfoot.
Yeah.
Seven didn't last long.
Okay, was Tiki Bob's the place that we went to where your lady friend won a free keg?
Yeah. Where we went and drank the free keg for like an hour.
Yeah, that was where every girl could get up and dance on tables and chairs. And
if a dude got up there, you got kicked down because I was actually a bouncer there. Like 7 years ago.
I'll tell you a great story about that place. They used to have dollar beers from like 9 to 10.
Yep.
I actually had someone get kicked out of that. I went there. Between 9 and 10, they drank so much of dollar beers, we got kicked out because she was throwing up in the bathroom at 9:45.
Wait, do I know this person?
Yes, you do.
Okay, then never mind. I think I know what you're talking about.
Went to Tonic like twice. I worked at Clutch Cargo's for
a while. I missed that place. Clutch Cargo's is great.
It's an actual church now.
It started out as a church. Then it turned into a nightclub, and now it's a church again.
Yeah.
We still call it Clutch Cargo's at work.
It's
always going to be. It's like DTE's always going to be kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not religious in any way, but if I was, I could not go to church, what used to be Clutch Cargo's.
No, there's no amount of holy water that's going to wash the sin.
I've seen way too much stuff go on in that building.
It's been like, I'm sitting here praying, and I was just grinding with a girl on that spot.
Years ago. Like, there was so many BJs occurring on the dance floor.
Right. Billy, 20 years ago. Your mother and I were right over there. And let's just say that's how your big sister was born.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned all over this building.
Every floor, every room.
So it sounds like a lot of the hot spots are just, you got to go to Pontiac. It sounds
not even there.
Nothing's left. And they're that area. I'm border of downriver.
Yep.
Okay.
So we are opposite ends of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with me, like, you do see a lot of the dive bars. I mean, it's downriver, so a lot of the purely white trash places are still there and just that, and they do well and great.
Oh, yeah. You still have
that's White Lake.
What do you call it's down there? The salt mines down there.
That's
a little further.
Oh, wait, is that a bar?
To like the Detroit border, but yeah, like Melvindale.
Are you talking about the actual salt mine?
That's what I thought. I'm like, the salt mines.
Underneath the city of Detroit.
The old salt mines are still down there.
That's where the raves are held.
Yeah, no, there's out the White Lake area, it's like more hole in the wall bars than anything.
Right. You know, but sometimes those are generally like some of the
really
best places
fun side
to go to.
I see what you did there.
Where you have the creepy karaoke guy who's hosting karaoke and sexually harassing everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember that bar.
Welcome to my Saturday night.
I remember that bar.
Are you the
next
karaoke
up on the
host?
Radio.
But
we've got Jennifer.
I don't really see the. But to go back to the story, I don't really see the decline of lower end bars. You just see them, like, kind of like Doug said, getting better selection.
Yeah. Right.
Which they need to survive.
And. The explosion, the trend of craft cocktail bars and breweries to an extent, a lot of the ease with breweries and distilleries that you're seeing now is that it's easier to get a license for those in a lot of cities than it is to get a Class C liquor license. Yep. So it's easier to open one of those than it is to open a bar.
Wow. Right. Right, there are
cost
some,
is more high, but you know, right,
there are some towns and cities and stuff that are limiting the amount of breweries that they will allow in them. I know Novi, for instance, they only want one, which was
Detroit
Ascension.
Is talking about capping.
Really? Yeah, so they won't have another one.
Really,
I think they until it actually starts to explode and they see the amount of revenue that they bring in and they watch. I think what they're really worried about is the crime and people drinking and driving.
Well, especially Novi, like the city right. that will go around and like write on your wheels to see how long you've been somewhere. Yeah. And we'll
really?
Post
they really do that?
Royal Oak does.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. I narrowly avoided a DUI by luckily having my friend who was my DD for the majority of the night leave the bar in Novi first. And she got pulled over. And then and meanwhile, my drunk ass is like just going on right behind her.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think years ago. We don't condone drinking.
No,
and driving.
No, never, no. Never.
Well, I'm trying to think of the amount of breweries that are, in Detroit. And I've got seven on the top of my head. But with the area, it's just, why would you cap that?
It's because they probably don't want a pure explosion of it. I know they're talking about capping it, but we don't know what that cap will be. Because they do have like a one. I know this wasn't publicized yet, but didn't we hear about like a multinational, international brewery coming, like putting a production brewery somewhere down there, like no tap room? Near the riverfront area.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember the name.
So, I mean, you've got obviously so much room, and you know, they could always go to the Stroh's Brewery. That's still there.
Is it still operational?
The building's there.
Yeah, but the building's like all split up into like classrooms and stuff now.
The parking lot's used as a pay lot for sporting events.
Oh, yeah.
But you do have, if the Stroh's Brewery was still available, I know, like PBR is trying to develop a brewery in the city of Detroit.
That good Russian beer, PBR?
Well, the guy's an American citizen. It was just he was born in Russia. But he's trying to bring a lot of those, because they picked up a lot of brands that went out of business for various reasons and basically just held the recipes and contracted everything through Miller. Now he wants to put breweries nationwide. He doesn't want to do contract brewing anymore.
Nice.
They're bringing Stroh's. They want to bring it in Detroit. I think it's going to be contract with Brew Detroit originally, but then they're going to try to do their own brewery. It's going to be available on draft.
I thought Stroh's was going to like Minnesota.
No, they're doing it in Detroit. They're trying to figure out the logistics of doing their own brewery here. But right now, I think it's contract through somebody.
Yeah, because right now, in regards to Stroh's, I just remember the whole ordeal that they wanted to open up a brewery up in like that. It was either Minnesota or Wisconsin, one of those two states. But they wanted to open up a brewery up there to, create production around the area.
Well, Pabst didn't buy, but they leased the original Pabst Brewery from whoever owned it now, and they're going to start brewing PBR there. So the Russian guy does have some good ideas, and they're trying to bring some stuff back, and we'll see how it goes. But
might as well do it at the Silver Dome.
Yeah.
That's
available.
It's not being anymore. Tore down.
Yeah, it's being torn down.
Right. Well, I mean, but then you're going to have a giant area with, a giant parking
just
lot.
Just a giant empty space.
Well, yeah, they're talking about putting, what was it, some more housing and retail and stuff in there. They're going to put a whole big complex in there,
and it's
going to sit empty like the rest of Pontiac.
Yes, it's still Pontiac.
It's not a nice place to easily get to, especially in comparison to the fact that the Pontiac people are going to just drive out to pretty much Adams and 59 because that takes you to either, the Walmart Meijer that's over there and then up at Walton and Adams, which is the outdoor shopping complex that's up there. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. So, yeah, I don't see too many people.
Right there by
the
OU.
Village of Rochester.
Village of Rochester, that's it.
Yeah, used to work there.
Oh, were you a bouncer?
No, I actually smartass. I did security.
You did security.
Yeah.
So you were a bouncer.
Pretty much, but I worked the night shift because if you walk around there, you see all those like little metal grates that are around all the like trees and gardens and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Somebody kept coming in the middle of the night and stealing it all because it's all iron or whatever.
It's,
so they were
scrapping. Yeah, of course.
They were stealing it. So like
scrappers.
They actually had to hire a night shift security. So I'd sit there all night, drive around this little golf cart all night long.
Did you catch anyone?
No.
Did they steal anything still?
No.
Oh, well, that's...
They got the right man for the job.
Yep. That's a care of 100% business.
100% completion rate. Put that on your resume.
Boom.
So what do we got? What do we got here now?
What is this? This is the 312.
The 312. That's with chocolate and coffee beans.
Okay.
So it was supposed to be with Kona beans, but I think the shipment of Kona beans didn't come in. So he had to go. He had to go buy some. It looks just like a regular wheat beer, yep. And it tastes just like a coffee wheat.
Coffee straight on the nose.
Oh yeah. Definitely, I loved it the second I had it. I'm hoping that you guys don't drink it all so then I can finish the rest.
Oh, we're passing it around.
She gone.
Yep, I got my glass. Too late.
As he holds up there, yeah, I was going to say, after he had given me a little taste, and I'm like, man, I'm kind of mad that I didn't bring a growler and just brought a howler.
I live like a mile away from there.
Well, Three Nicks Scoreboard's definitely been a great sponsor for us. They give... We actually have a contest going on.
We'll announce it after the next break.
Sure, I'll take or give it to Nick. Wow. Yep. Nick hasn't had it yet, so we'll definitely announce it at the next break. But a great beer selection, very very sneaky in regards to Three Nicks, because I remember going to Three Nicks. I'll take the rest, whatever in the bottle, if you've already poured everything.
Pour it now, man.
I doubled up my cup just before.
Thank you very much. So, you know, Three Nicks is very, very good in regards to the beer choices. The food's on par. I guess during the day, have you been there during the day, Mike?
Yes, I have.
Found out he can scratch on his cup there.
I wonder what he's wrote.
I just drew a dick.
So you drew a picture of Scott?
It's a little too big for Scott.
Yeah, that's just a hole if he draws that.
It's missing the beard.
We can give it the afro. It's going to be like Doug. During the day, and they kind of, surprisingly, they've toned it down a little bit because they used to do like Thong Thursday.
It's like every day morning. Now. Yeah.
And like they used to, like, the bikinis and stuff would be see through, so you see like nipple and stuff as you're like sitting down in this bar. Now it's a little bit more toned back, but it's still a bikini bar. But all their locations except for the Dearborn one are bikini bars. Just bikini bars are legal in Dearborn.
That kind of makes sense in regards to the city, but that's just during the day. During at night, they don't wear bikinis anymore.
Nope. It's always been regular clothing, like after 7, 8 o'clock at night after a shift change.
Yeah, but the beer is usually on point there. Ryan, one of the owners for Three Nicks Scoreboard, is definitely getting a lot of great beers in regard to upcoming.
Like a ridiculous amount of
beers.
They're
getting barrel aged Screaming Pumpkin. As well as Massacre on draft.
Guess yeah. I know where I'm going.
Both of those are on draft and upcoming. So, you know, stay tuned. We got a little bit of show left. We're going to take a quick break. I'll see you soon. And we're back to segment three of the Better on Draft podcast.
Some Xandria. You guys got a problem with symphonic metal?
I have no problem with symphonic metal. I was just asking.
Well, what's funny is that nobody that's listening post to this show live will understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Way to go, Nicholas.
That's okay.
So you guys cut everything out when you podcast, right?
We do.
We cut out all the music, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to get in trouble.
We don't want to get sued.
See, that's why like most of the music that we play on our show is like local punk rock, where I go to the band and go, hey, we're going to play this. Is it cool? Yeah, sure, no problem. So
yeah, I'm sure sooner or later we might.
I could probably pull it, but I don't want to.
We could probably pull it with the Five Guys.
The who?
The Five Guys, a show that's on Thursday nights here on the network.
Oh, Five Gears.
Five Gears.
I mean, I could reach out to We Came as Romans. I live two doors down from them.
You know, no.
I live, yeah, like, they're, no. I almost got in a no. fight with them at one point.
I know.
what are we doing? Where are these going?
Keep passing.
We're passing, but what are we passing?
This
barrel-aged Citra.
Barrel-aged Citra. I haven't gotten a glass of that
yet. It's right there.
Oh, and you have the beer we need to try tonight.
And that one's coming, too. So we're going to go back-to-back. Why not?
Explain to these guys what we have in front of you right now, because we need to talk about this.
I was showing them. We have an Enjoy By 10/31/15 from Stone.
What's the date today?
Oh, it's something in November.
11/13.
We're a couple weeks late.
Friday the 13th,
yes.
You might die if you drink this.
We were going to drink it on the 30th, and then we said it would be funnier if we drank it after.
Yep.
And then last week we didn't get a chance to because we were destroying the New Belgium, Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a couple of bottles floating around. If you want to try it, I have not had a chance to try it.
It's so good. Grab some of that.
Yeah.
Oh, and to clear up the cliffhanger from last week, since we forgot to close it, it actually is better on draft.
It was better on draft.
We kind of cut out.
We had a bottle and we had draft of it. It really is better on draft.
Yeah.
So definitely, what I saw, one of our sponsors actually, Finesse Liquor, had this carrying in their store right now over in Warren. Again, Finesse Liquor, one of our sponsors, full liquor menu, full single beer menu, as well as you know, 6-packs, 12-packs, cases. Definitely the chance to get pretty much everything you need for a party, for a get together, whether it's for yourself, for friends, if you're buying beer and you don't want to spend the money on friends and you want to get just, you know, the cheap beer, the dirty 30s.
The dirty 30s.
As opposed to the
or the Kirkland,
Kirkland 48s.
The filthy 50.
Have you guys seen the Kirkland beer?
No.
It's only available.
I've seen
it's only
pictures.
At Costco.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's in 48 cans.
I've seen it other places, but obviously not legally.
well, you can go to Costco without a menu and buy beer from them, or without a membership and buy beer.
Same thing with Sam's Club and all that. Yep. You cannot require, unless it's a on-premise club, you cannot require a membership.
Yeah, which is nice because that's how I got the barrel-aged Arrogant Bastard.
I didn't know that. I didn't know we could just walk in there and grab some.
Yeah.
Know.
A lot of the times they will fight you on it. But
really?
You know, I went into two. I went into the Madison Heights one, and then I was in, Brighton?
Brighton. I remember you sent me pictures.
That's our side of town.
I was driving through Brighton. I couldn't remember. Oh, I was coming back from Roscommon.
Yeah, it was a show
and
day.
It was giving me a detour to go around I-75 to get down to Allen Park to Three Nicks. And I'm like, Brighton? I'm like, that sounds familiar. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Because you told me early in the day. Yeah. You were like, go there. I'm like, I'm not driving to Brighton.
It was the day before. I'm like, go to Brighton and you can get in. He's like, hell yeah. Hell no, I should say.
Yeah.
So I wound up just driving by, and it was like a mile detour. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I can go see if it's there. I went there. They still had like 24 four-packs of the Arrogant Bastard Barrel Age. So I'm like, all right. So that's definitely nice if you've ever been to Costco or Sam's Club or not gone because you don't have a membership. You can buy liquor without any issues there. They usually need at the counter a managerial approval.
You just have to yell at them. You have to yell at the cashier to be.
No, actually, both cashiers I've been to was really nice, and they understood everything.
I think it's more common now. Like back when they first started carrying beer in Michigan, which was only maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like they were trying to enforce the whole, like, you need to be a member to come in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great selling opportunity for people, you know, in regards to being a former sales type person. Dan here is a sales guy.
I maybe.
I just assumed you were. I assumed you were a bouncer, or a security guard, like everybody else here.
Everybody. When I go to the bar, that's happened to me before. Literally sitting at a bar.
Like people always think you work there.
They do.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm sitting there with a beer in my hand, and I get people come up to me, and they're like, "Hey, dude, I may kick that guy's ass. Don't kick me out of here." And I'm like.
People do that?
Okay, I've had it happen before.
Does this actually happen when you're bouncing? I've never been a bouncer.
No,
this
not even when you're bouncing. This is
happens.
Being a big guy, especially when you have a shaved head and a beard, nowadays everyone seems to think you're security.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe I need to shave my head and then I walk into a bar.
Just like you ever get the big guy nod? You know, like when you're out, guy was giving like the "we cool,"
I understand that.
So you're walking through the halls in high school, like saying hi to your friends,
man. Or you get the one dude who thinks he's a badass. He'll come up to you. And he's like, "Hey, you're the biggest guy in the bar. Looks like I have to take you out or something."
Oh Lord, that's
it's happened.
And you're like, okay, but dinner and a movie first.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you want to buy me a couple of beers? We're good. What are you doing?
Well, I live close to down river, and I'm not very a down rivery person.
Downrivery person. What does that mean?
What does a downriver person look like?
I'll go into this. I'll go to some like the really crappy dive bars in that area.
I was gonna say, you going to Taylortown?
I live. Yeah, maybe
we watch curling over there. That's what we
went to a bar. We were at a wrestling show out in Taylor, and we went to a bar outside of it. And literally, it was during the Winter Olympics, and the entire bar was hardcore curling fans.
You're probably at what, drinks? I think that's probably the closest bar.
Yeah, we were drunk.
It was like hardcore though. They were like there for that.
Yeah, there was TVs at the table, and they were watching it at the table, and they were getting into it. I'm like, all right, what's? I don't even think the U.S. was even playing. It was like Canada versus Russia, because those are the two cold places that I think of when I think of curling. So yeah, it might have been drinking. You're going on. What's a downrivery person?
Okay. So the stereotype would be more of the white trashy personality. But no, like when I go to like some of the dive bars down there, you get the kid who thinks he's like Eminem, and he's like 5'2", and he comes up and
he's a little bee rabbit.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber walking around.
Like I like never been called more like pejoratives for you know the gay community ever than going into a bar.
You're called
river.
A bear,
really?
Is that
like compliments?
He would definitely be a bear in the gay community. I'm gonna pass that down for you guys to start pouring your own glasses.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we got three down here. We're gonna need one for. Oh, he's got them.
Oh, so. I can finish this.
Got
beer.
It.
I mean, we're passing around the stale beer now, so
it's
we're,
not yeah. Stale. I really don't care about reusing cups because you know, I care about the environment.
What do you think about the barrel aged citra? That was
it. Was actually not
good.
Too bad at
it
all.
Was actually
still
pretty
trying
impressed.
To just perfect drawing. I had wiener on these cups.
I had Nihilist, which is a barrel aged IPA, and I liked it a lot too. It's not like I didn't have an issue when I went to Oddside to get it because I'm like, can I just have a little? Because I don't think I'm going to like it. When I did that at ABC, remember ABC? You're like, you need two tokens.
Oh, God. Oh,
two tokens
they
for
get,
that beer.
That's a two token beer, sir. I'm like, well, thanks for your mediocre beer that took like extra tokens.
That wasn't that bad. That was the red sour.
It was decent.
So, In regards to beer, you know, we're still sitting here with Mike's Happy Hour. We appreciate you guys.
Mike's Unhappy Hour.
Mike's Happy Hour. That's unhappy. The new show we're starting.
The new
week.
Show. That's the PG version.
They're unhappy that you said happy.
They edit all the cursing, so it's only a 30-second show.
Yeah.
We have gone clean. It's pretty much just
hi, bye. Hmm?
Hi.
That's our show. If we
hi,
edit
I'm
it.
Mike.
Hello, and welcome to Mike's Unhappy Hour, and... Goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Be safe, drive safe. See you guys next week.
There you go.
That'd be about it.
Yep.
With the occasional.
Occasional.
Maybe like two or three brewery names, and then that's it.
You know, I thought about that. That's definitely a beer podcast trope that I do not like, or a podcast trope is when people do the can opening right in front of the.
People do that?
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, all right, we understand you're drinking beer. Let's just keep going.
You don't need to open the can right up to the mic. Come on. Yeah.
So
I do not. I just open so many. You can't.
Just well, yeah, we do it. Open a lot of beer, and you can hear the bottles hitting the table. I notice. You like,
oh yeah,
putting
yeah.
Stuff
the
down.
Table is just filled with Solo cups
but that's,
and beer
that's
bottles.
That's more
right
organic
now.
Than opening the can next to the microphone. Like, oh, these guys obviously are drinking things.
Well, the best is that these guys have seen. I don't know how it is for your show, but like how we talk with like pointing and stuff. Like, we want this. We want this. We don't say anything, yeah. But we all know exactly what we're getting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
almost
well,
at we'll, the
we'll
week
just
two
be like,
level
dude, that beer.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
we try to be a little discreet about it. Nick, on the other hand, Nick's got something up on his laptop. We want to make sure we get over and go ahead, Nick.
All right, so our boys at North Center, Bob and the crew over there, they got a couple events coming up starting on November 19th. Darwin Marmassians can be playing live.
Now, that's not a beer. That's an actual person.
Yeah, we had this conversation
yes,
last
and I
week.
Got slapped for it. Not really, but he will be playing on November 19th at North Center Brewing. A couple days after that, November 21st, they will be having their Movember Mustache Party.
What is this?
So they will be donating. So I actually had to do a little bit of research for this. They will be donating $1 to the Movember Foundation for every pint that they sell regular business hours.
And they sell like $3 pints of everything.
I was going to say, yeah, they're definitely not too overpriced there.
They will also be having a prize pack.
Oh, we can do
that
without
mustache
going to a party.
That comes in that day. So go in there, check it out. They will also, I know this is a little far out, but that's all right. Ben's Encore Chili Cook-Off. Benefit to fund education for people that are not able to do so for musical education.
Yeah, that's a Ben's Encore is a great charity.
That's a big thing too.
Oh, yeah.
Musical education
yeah.
These days.
We were talking about. I think we might have brought it up on the show, but we had a my father-in-law Nick, your father, made for a marching band, a stand that you can do bells while you're doing the marching band.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So for someone who was playing the bells or someone like that, they actually made pretty much just like, you know, over the shoulder, like a drum line type thing, but for the bells so that someone could play the bells while they're doing the marching band.
And you don't really see that. So that's kind
no,
of.
Really
no,
we
donated it to, I want to say Warren Mott, I believe. My cousin is my cousin's husband is a band director there, so he was very, very accepting of it. As they're having a lot of fun with the drawing
the
on the solo
cups
over
here. Yeah.
You guys are out of control. You just figured this out like 20 minutes ago, and now you guys are really going nuts.
If you stack them, you get the Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez.
So while we've got 13 minutes left, let's talk about this giveaway.
Well, yeah, we've got a giveaway now. Have you guys had Bourbon County before?
Yep.
Yes.
Have you had any? I'm assuming that's...
I've only had it once.
Wait, which one?
We
were together.
Yeah.
Which one did you have?
The standard.
Standard.
We had it when the Dirty Trick was open downtown.
Yeah. Just randomly walk and get it whenever you wanted. There was no line.
Find the coffee.
Grab it.
Is it good? Have you had it?
Amazeballs.
Oh, I'll have to definitely check that out because I love coffee.
Now, have you guys had the new Dragon's Milk Reserves?
We've had two of them.
The one with the chilies.
If you find the triple mash, get it.
Everyone says that.
I can't
see,
find
it. We just had it on Sunday and had it in at the brew house, and it was 16.2 at the brew house.
Oh, Jesus.
Amazing.
The raspberry came in at 11, and you couldn't taste liquor in it.
Oh, no, not at all.
It was a dangerous thing. I couldn't sit there and drink that because
we ended up we had all of them
on
tap at brew house.
This was before or after you puked.
This was
after day two.
Yeah, this is day two. Day one was rough. It was my birthday weekend, so I went out in a blaze of glory in true Bon Jovi fashion.
Yeah, you did.
But
all down
no.
the side of the car.
And part inside. But another story. We had it at the brew house in Holland there, and the triple mash, amazing. It's 16.2 there.
That's the one everyone wants.
Yeah, everybody's raving about the triple mash.
Yeah, it was so smooth, so balanced. At 16.2 there, I think it's 14.2 or 14 something that you can get bottled.
14. That's enough.
Okay, yeah. at the 16.2, did not taste overly boozy at all.
I believe it.
So balanced.
The raspberry, we couldn't even taste the liquor in it.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah,
no. I could drink this all night.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
Now, of all of them that we tried there, what was your the least favorite that you liked?
That was the chili one.
See, for me, I liked the chili. The coffee chocolate, for me, was eh.
I wanted to try the coffee chocolate. That's just because it's my style of beer, the beer that I'd probably more lean towards if I was given all four right in front of me. I'd reach for that
There's
one.
Coffee chocolate, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And that'll mellow out the liquor flavor, too.
I would say, to me anyway, trying the Triple Mash compared to Bourbon County, they're damn comparable.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
And see, I make that argument all the time. You can get a beer that you can get 365 versus one you can get once a year, and there's always a beer that is very similar to those. So why wait in line?
Right.
That's always been...
Well, you looked at it. I mean, today was rare day.
Was it today?
I thought it was the 30th. Yeah.
So you have to spend $80 to wait in line for a beer.
To spend money on a beer.
To spend money on a beer. Right. Like, come on.
Well, sooner or later, it's just not worth it, you know, but... over at 3 Nick Scoreboard, we're actually giving away a pair of tickets to the Bourbon County Tasting. They're doing a two-year vertical, two 10-ounce pours, one for the 2014 and one for the 2015. Each ticket costs $20, so if you don't win, you can always go buy one.
Assuming they don't sell out.
Is this just the standard?
This is just the standard.
14 and 15.
But what's nice about this is that they undercut in regards to how much they're selling. So no matter what, they won't run out.
Right.
But you have 6 days to redeem the tickets.
Okay. So you don't have to wait in line.
They tap it, and then you can go whenever you want to do your tasting.
Right, so how do I get in touch with you guys to tell them to save me a bottle?
Well, actually, tickets are on sale. They're not going to be bottling. It's all on draft. There's
it's
holler.
On draft.
Yeah. Yeah. All on draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's $20. And again, you have 6 days to go from November 30th to Sunday, December 6th.
Yep.
You can go at any time, any day. You just bring in your ticket and they'll pour you two 10-ounce bottles. They have it pretty much set up to where there's no real way around it. Like, you know, there's no accidental tapping. Like, they're not going to put, you know, giant BCBS tap handles on there.
And, sell it out.
Yeah.
Let me get five of those.
Is it available to anybody that comes in the door after that? Or
you have to buy the ticket.
You have to buy the tickets.
Tickets aren't on sale once they sell out.
After those 6 days, I would imagine, right?
They might.
I think anything after the 6 days, but it's not going to be much. They're looking for... roughly in their allotment, about 50 to 75 ounces of spillage, anything like that. Which, I mean, that's 5 to 7 tickets worth of bottles that they could, or 5 to 7 tickets that they could have sold that they decided not to, just to make sure that there is no issues. But at, you know, $1 an ounce, $10 a
for each 10-ounce pour. That's not a bad
deal. It's not a bad deal at all.
For the fact that you can go whenever, too. There's no waiting in line. There's no waiting in, you know, you could literally go up to the bar and buy it, which is definitely something that I like. And they're doing everything that they can. They've done it before, so it's not anything new for them where they've never ran out. I heard Ashley's might have had an issue beforehand. I think they fixed that issue, but they might have had an issue before in regards to selling out their allotment before all the tickets were redeemed.
Oh, that's terrible. That's really bad.
I think a lot of people are seeing the issues when they give out the tickets in a line, like, here's all your tickets, and then people, there's issues because there's the line and everyone's waiting in line and trying to, you know, everybody's a scam artist.
Yep.
We're in Michigan.
Still trying. I know everyone's doing it nowadays, but I'm still trying to figure out, because it's kind of illegal. Because if you have it, you can't not sell it to someone that asks for it if they're of age. Same thing like a lot of the stores that hoard for regulars.
Yeah.
You know, if
which it, is what I hate. That's
if it's in, it's like nuts, legally, you're obligated to sell it to anyone who asks.
Right. Well, he pre-sells it. That's why I don't know if it's.
Well, it's a 6-day window, though. So that's.
But isn't it technically already sold? Like, if I bought something, somebody can't come up and already buy it.
That's why I said it's a little muddy on how it's done. It's that's why I think a lot of places are still doing it. And the LCC, you know, has their head up their ass.
Well, you had said
that
you can. Can you walk in even after, you know, pre-sale and buy tickets at the bar, or is it pre-sale only?
As if there's tickets available, yes.
So if. So that that means, okay. I mean, there still could be people, if they have 50 tickets left, per se.
You could walk in.
You could walk in and get it, but then the people that may come in the last day be like, oh, well, sorry, we sold our 50 other tickets, now you're SOL.
Yeah, we've sold the allotment. We've sold, you know.
Right, but if they're, you know, planning for, you know, 50 to, you know, or whatever, 5 to 7 tickets of spillage or whatever, then they should be okay at that.
I'm sure
point,
there's some gray area because, like I said, everyone's doing it now, but
right,
yeah.
So basically, get in there, get your tickets, get there as soon as you get your ticket, and go get it.
Go
don't
buy
wait.
Your ticket. Yeah, why would you wait to buy these anyways?
The time if you put anything in regards to the MLCC for a complaint or anything like that, you're still not going to get it in time to.
No, it's not even worth the $20.
No, what are you doing?
So Ken, we're having a giveaway. How do we? If I wanted to win one, how do we win one?
Well, first of all, you can't win one because
they gave it to us.
You already have a ticket, Nick. Let's be real.
Yeah, we
bought all the tickets, so you got your own. We already bought the others to give away.
For the listeners out in the listening
world. So if you're on the listening world, one rule that we have created is that we are not allowing anybody in the Podcast Detroit Studio family.
Sorry,
to,
Jess.
It's a good thing we're not in the family.
Oh. So we're good. We're golden.
That is true.
Sorry, Mom.
You do have to like Better on Draft on Facebook, as well as like 3Nick Scoreboard on Facebook.
I think I qualify for both of those.
Liking both of those,
then you might.
Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? Who you taking?
Liking both of those. Make sure to send us a message on Facebook in regards to your email address, so we have a way to contact you.
And it's like almost 10. Almost 9 o'clock.
Mike's on happyhour at gmail.com.
Or Rustic Lake Brewing Company at gmail.com.
Keeping track of likes from right now, which is about 9 o'clock.
Yep. So we'll start. Well, even old likes. We'll still allow old likes to come in.
Okay.
As long as you liked us.
As long as you're
not
Podcast
Detroit.
As long as you're family or our friends. Like,
yeah, you can't.
People we know. I'm not going to let someone from work who listens to this. Like, no, you can't win.
Yeah,
give me $20. I'll go get your goddamn ticket.
I was going to say, you can go get your own ticket. But yeah, if you like us, you like 3Nick Scoreboard on Facebook, and then just make sure to message us on Facebook your email address. You can definitely enter in. We're not going to be saving your email addresses. We're only using it just so we can contact you.
And send you spam.
Oh, no, not at all. Are you kidding?
That's the whole point. Spam.
I hate that shit, so I'm not
going
to bother.
We're going to get spam going on. What are we going to do? Two nights from today, are we going to draw this?
No. We're going to draw it. Actually, we're going to have a special guest draw it. And,
Who?
We're going to have Ryan from 3Nix come in.
Oh!
Well, that's going to have to be with it either next week or 2 weeks from tonight.
In 2 weeks
out of time.
From now, we're going to be drawing it.
2 weeks from tonight.
Two weeks from tonight.
So, hold on. I just said, are we drawing this 2 weeks from tonight? And you're like,
You said 2 days from tonight.
Yeah. You did say 2 weeks.
Oh, well, we'll call back, too. 2 weeks from tonight. Two days from tonight.
Two weeks from tonight.
We're going to draw this, and we'll announce it on the air, as well as obviously post it on Facebook and contact
you. And get
you
a hold of
it.
Yeah, so give us your contact, and we need to get a hold of you.
And your information will be saved over at 3Nix, And just got to bring your ID, and you'll be good to go.
Hopefully he brings that Massacre. Is he going to have that on tap yet?
Yeah, he'll have Massacre
probably
soon.
Probably in December.
Yeah, I think it's in
pretty
December.
Good things about that stuff. Really,
we had a bottle of it, and I didn't like it. I loved it.
He's going to be releasing Massacre and the Barrel-Aged Screaming Pumpkin in December.
Don't forget about his holiday party on the
holiday. Yeah. So starting, starting next Friday, going all the way through December 18th, it'll be the five Fridays of Christmas beer, a new Christmas beer each and every Friday during that time. And the Customer Appreciation Christmas Party, Friday, December 18th. They will open at 7 a.m., serving free breakfast and having hourly specials and promos throughout the entire day.
Yeah, we should try to do a live remote.
I was
going
to say, we're looking at going to that at the minimum, if not.
Might as well talk on the radio and make a 10-hour podcast.
But they do have that chili cook-off coming up on November 28th, and I'm a sucker for chili.
Now, do you like chili that's like full, or do you like Coney chili? Because I'm only a fan of Coney chili.
No Coney chili.
No Coney.
No. It's got
that is un-Michigan.
It's got to have. Well, I do like it, but it's got to have beans. It's got to have tomatoes. It's got to have peppers, onions, all that stuff in it.
Okay.
It's got to be loaded.
But before we go, because we're actually we got about a minute left. Did you guys get a pour of the 1031?
Yep.
What did we like? I liked it, actually.
It was, I don't know if I didn't try it fresh, so I don't know, or before.
I didn't try it fresh.
Yeah. I'm trying to think it's only a month and 5 years.
Well, I didn't try it before the
Bottled a month ago.
It's pretty malty to me. I don't get a whole lot of hops in it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It's good.
That's
very,
why
very
I like
malty.
It. Anybody else want to chime in?
He covered it.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. I want to thank everybody here from Mike's unhappy hour.
Hey,
not happy hour.
It's right
the PG
time.
Version.
Well, we're kind of happy right
now. And Homeward Brew and the Donger
plug
and Radio.
Plug what you need to plug.
Rustic Leaf Brewing Company, Cabresto Tequila.
Plug what you need to plug.
Yeah, which Rustic Leaf Brewing Company is searching investors. So if you are interested, please email us at rusticleafbrewingcompany@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Why do you give out that email still?
Because it's the easiest.
Why do you have a different?
No,
it's the easiest.
You
one.
Can email general@rusticleafbrewingcompany.com.
Yeah, that's easy too.
So, is there anything else you guys want to plug before?
You guys don't have a Yahoo we can reach, or
maybe an AOL account,
GeoCities,
MSN.com.
Don't make me bust out the old school AOL.
I was gonna say I felt like I just went back to like high school.
Does Rustic Leaf have a live journal?
Can we reach you at AIM?
You might be able to,
or maybe ICQ.
ICQ number.
Oh my gosh.
All righty, guys. Well, that's going to do it for here at Better on Draft podcast. For all of us, we want to thank you for listening. But no matter what beer you think is best, remember, we think it's Better on Draft.